This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The book of Revelation, sometimes called the Apocalypse, is in fact a book of revealings. Symbols of horsemen designed to describe material devastation. Descriptions of scorpions and various insects used to explain modern weapons of destruction, all intended to explain how mankind will finally close the chapter on this phase of human civilization. Nations rising against nations, and kingdoms rising against kingdoms. This book, written by the aging Apostle John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, has more to reveal than all the alleged prophecies of Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce combined. Stay with us as we begin to explore the revealings of what some consider to be the mysteries of Revelation.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone. I'm Bronson James for the Armor of God, welcoming you to another edition of this program. We're glad that you've invited us wherever you may be, and we hope that you will grow closer in understanding the Word of God. Behold, I tell you a mystery. The Apostle Paul wrote those words when he wrote the letter to the church at Corinth. But mystery, what kind of mystery are you talking about today? Well, simply the most mysterious book, I put mysterious in quotes, in the New Testament. It's called the Book of Revelation. The Latin term for revelation is revelatio, and that's where we get the term revelation. But the Greek title of this book is Apocalypsis, from which we get the word apocalypse. And apocalypse, now you just think about having heard that term before. Don't many people conclude that apocalypse means disaster, some impending doom, something about to happen? The apocalypse is the way people have referred to this book. Even movies have been made entitled The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And these four dreaded horsemen ride into the scene, both in silent movies as well as in modern movies. If I recall, it was Glenn Ford who starred in the more modern version of The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Just what does this term apocalypse mean? Well, it means the revealing or revelation. Just take a glance at the very first part of the book. It starts out by saying in chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. To show, to tell. And in addition, he sent and signified it by an angel unto his servant John. So the very first verse should allay any fears that this book is hidden, shrouded, covered up. There is no cover up in relationship to this book. Hard to be understood because of symbolism used within the book, yes. But even the Bible gives secrets and codes, if you will. Forget the Da Vinci Code. Get the biblical code. And when you discern what that code is, you find enlightenment. You find information. It was Isaiah who wrote line upon line, here a little, there a little. When you put it all together, you get a picture from this conundrum or this puzzle called the Scriptures, and in particular, the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not going to be foolhardy to think that I could give you a complete understanding of the book of Revelation in less than 30 minutes. It's not possible to be done. However, I want to encourage you by the offers that we're making today, and These are very simple things to acquire. First of all, the booklet is entitled, Who, What is the Beast, in quotes, quote, in quote, of Revelation. There are several beasts mentioned in the book, of course, but the particular beast that we want to emphasize will be covered in the booklet of that title. In addition to that, there is a 4-CD series entitled The Seven Seals of the Book of Revelation. Van Stinson, along with myself, interchange, or we kind of hand the baton off to one another as we proceed through those examinations of those seven seals. Nonetheless, these two items can be yours absolutely free when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791. And you can hit us up on our website also at www.cgi.org. Now, as we continue in today's program, let's deal with this mysterious, perplexing, and troubling book. The first thing that I cited to you is that it's not a hidden book. It simply says the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, his revealing. And he reveals this to John through an angel. And the very first chapter gives us so much information that I want you to imbibe and drink up. Verse 2, for instance, says, Who, John, bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. So John is going to be given a revelation, a revealing of some things, looking into some things, and he is now to pass it on to fellow believers. In fact, we're told in verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. These were seven literal churches in a locale known as Asia Minor. And it was kind of on a route. Some people call it a mail route. And in those seven churches whose names are revealed in chapters 2 and 3, but who summarize the nature of the church down through the years, down through the centuries, you can find parallels in all of these seven churches somewhere among the body of believers in the world today. So John is writing to those folk, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Wow. That about covers everything, don't you think? Let's say that again. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, that is, he presently is, as I'm writing this, John could say, which was, that is, he had a prior existence, and which is to come, that means he goes on forever. I think the book of Hebrews summed it up very nicely when it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's referencing something presented by Jesus Christ, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Wow! What a powerful presentation by the Apostle John. Now, you must take John's word and seriously divide it, because what you will ascertain out of this examination is quite interesting. Remember, John self-describes himself in the Gospel of John by saying he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, there's a particular poignancy about this very first chapter, because we're going to be introduced to Jesus Christ, and John is going to recognize that it is Jesus Christ who he's talking to. Remember the assignment Jesus gave John? Son, or man, behold your mother. He turned his mother over to John for her safe and well-being, her safekeeping and well-being. So there was a special closeness in John, and here Jesus Christ is going to give him some information, not only information for himself, but for the entire body of the church. Look again at verse 4, to the seven churches. Now, I suggest to you that that means the seven churches or its characteristics down through the ages, down to our present time. So the book of Revelation was not for an ancient time, but also for us today, upon whom the ends of the world is coming. It says in verse 6, "And he has made of us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen." So John is saying that this being who is communicating with me, I am communicating with you the things that he has given to me to share with you. He is significant because, verse 8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega." These are letters of the Greek alphabet, the first and the last of the Greek alphabet. "The beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." So Almighty God, through the personage of Jesus Christ, through the Apostle John, wants to communicate something to us. And we, many of us, conclude it's a mystery. Who can know it? Who can understand it? Who can decipher the things that are buried in this book? But look at what John says in verse 9. He says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation." Just put a colon there for a moment. I want to stop and park there for a moment. Many people teach that the saints, especially in this age and in this time, will not have to go through the tribulation. They're going to be spirited off in what's called a rapture, a catching away. And they're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ having a good old time while the world is being scorched and being ripped apart and ripped asunder. John says, "I am your brother and companion in tribulation." Well, what tribulation did the saints have to go through? You go back to the first century church, and they went through a lot of tribulation, brothers and sisters. Well, why weren't they protected? Were they not believers? I'm suggesting to you that if you are a believer, you are going to experience tribulation. The Bible says those who will live godly will suffer tribulation. Now, if you're not going to suffer any tribulation and you're going to be wafted off into a catching away and never have to suffer or experience any of that, then you are whistling Dixie, if you will. You are expectorating in the wind, because the fact is that Jesus suffered, Paul suffered, many folk in the Bible suffered, including the Apostle John, who's writing this about the early 90s to the mid-90s A.D., a long time. See, if I do the math, we're talking 60 years after Christ was dead, buried, and resurrected. He's still around, and he's still experiencing some difficulty. In fact, he is where he is because of tribulation. Look at what it says. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos." He had been sent there in isolation because of his persuasion and his belief. So persecution is something that you can expect, but the Lord can deliver you out of it in his time and in his way. And the book of Revelation talks about that ultimate deliverance that is going to come to you, because the word tells us that if you overcome, chapters 2 and 3 have a statement after each church giving and granting great gifts, a white robe of righteousness, a crown of righteousness, a throne in which to sit, and a number of other things that come to us as a result of our faithfulness to God. But it comes only because we are faithful, and it comes only because we are convinced of the truths found in the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ making his appearance on what some people would like to say is the Lord's Day. Look at verse 10. I've used this in other contexts before, but I want to emphasize it now for our consideration. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Well, what does the Lord's Day mean? Does it mean Sunday? If you're going to suggest any possession of any day of the week by any believer, you would accept that the Sabbath was part of the Ten Commandments, and thus one puts aside his labor, one seeks to imbibe or, let's say, commune with God on a particular day. And what day was that? It was not what's called the Lord's Day, as in Sunday, but the Sabbath. If you believe at all that the Sabbath has bearing, has weight, and the Ten Commandments are still in force, that would be the Lord's Day, would you not say? But also, prophetically, the Lord's Day, referenced in the Old Testament and the New Testament, quite voluminously talking about a futuristic time, the Day of the Lord. I learned just enough English to be dangerous. And the fact is, the possessive state of this word, the Lord's Day, indicates the Day of the Lord. If I said, let's go to Bill's house, would I be talking about the house of Bill? Yes. Everybody understands that, except when it comes to this text, somehow we get all muddled in our thinking and think, well, that has to refer to a spiritual thing about a particular day of the week, when in fact it may be prophetically referring to a time when God sets his hand to do some things, like what's mentioned in the book of Joel, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. Am I playing with the language, or have we run away from a clear understanding of simple English usage? So here is John in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, the word on, O-N, very little word, seems inconsequential. But here's what I want you to understand about the Greek term, E-N. E-N, that's the word, in. E-N. It can be translated in. It can be translated on. It can be translated into. Well, if those possibilities exist, how can we understand such a passage as this? Could it read, I was in the Spirit into the Lord's day, or into the day of the Lord? Is that possible? I hope that you will mull that over in your mind and consider it and think about the possibilities. Forget for a moment the things that you have learned about this or the misgivings you've had about this particular passage. And if it is a reference to the futuristic time of the Lord's intervention in the events of the world, then it makes sense. I was in the Spirit. The Spirit had control of me. The Spirit was motivating me. The Spirit was teaching me into, or carried me into, the day of the Lord. It's the same Spirit that is referenced in Genesis 1. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. Same Spirit. Now, what is said in chapter 1 and verse 11? It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, John, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. Now, if you claim to be a part of the Church of Christ, that is, the body of Christ, the Church of God, whatever term you put on it, the Assembly of God, if you're in one of those entities or engaged in some way with a body of believers, this is to you. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia Minor, unto Ephesus, it's not going to name the cities, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These are the seven churches, and you can find them on the maps in ancient history and see where the routes were, or these locations were, and you find that this message that was sent to them has application even into the present time in which we live. So John now is curious. He turns in verse 12 to see the voice that spoke with him. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool. Now, I've gone over that in a previous program about what color was Jesus, but this is a reference not to the texture of his hair, but the color of his hair. White as snow. So how many people have snow for hair? We may say there is snow on the roof, but we know that the hair has a texture, has a feel to it that is not snow-like. It's only a reference to the color. I'll put that aside for now. Move on. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And what's being described here is Jesus Christ in his glorified state. Now, ask yourself this question. Did John not know that it was Jesus talking. After all, he had spent 3.5 years with him. Would he not have recognized his voice? Would he have not considered, well, that's Jesus' voice? He may have got that inkling, but he had to turn and see to make certain, to verify. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. There is a resurrection. There is a resurrection in Jesus Christ. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death, of the grave and death. Jesus Christ has the key to that. We're all subject to death. We're all subject to tribulation. We are all subject to the end time. And many people are suggesting that we're living in the end of the age, a time when Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. But prior to that time, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a lot of upheaval, a lot of difficulty. Turn with me now to chapter 6. In chapter 5, we are told that there is a right hand, that is one who sits on the throne, and in his right hand is a book wherein there are, on the back side of it, seven seals. Seven seals. Now, one of the offers we're making today is an examination of what those seven seals are, but I just want to reference how we can know what these seven seals signify. And the Bible interprets the Bible relative to this issue. Now, look, Jesus Christ shows that he was qualified to open the book of the seven seals. It says in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. When we pray, they are accumulated in vials, in containers, if you will, sort of like incense. The odor of our prayers ascend unto God, and they are preserved by Almighty God. And they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by the blood of out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and has made us unto ourselves, or unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Wow, what an anticipation, what a time, what a promise. But you need to come to understand the secrets of the book of Revelation, because they were not intended to be secrets. They were intended to be a revealing, a revelation. And a revelation of the sort, here's what one of my notes suggests. It says the word apocalypse, the Greek term, means to disclose of that which was previously hidden or unknown. For instance, these seals. Five of them, Jesus Christ gives us the code to. Well, what are you talking about, the codes? Well, the first seal has an idea of a false Christ. You go back to Matthew 24, and what do you find astoundingly? Jesus talks about false Christ. Then the second horse is described as war. Well, Jesus says and talks about in Matthew 24 the rumors of war. There will be wars and rumors of war. The third seal, famine. Well, Jesus talked about famine and pestilence, disease in various places. And then the fourth seal talks about death, which is derived from both famine and from pestilence. Then comes martyrdom, the fifth seal. Now, when you go back to Matthew 24, and I don't have time today, but I want you to realize, and you're going to get that when you get the booklet about the seven seals, that you can know, you can understand, you can comprehend what the Bible is saying in the book of Revelation about things you ought to know. And the most encouraging thing, my friends, about it is that you will not have to be in the dark, but you can be in the revealing of what these things mean. Now, when Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 that persecution was going to come, that tribulation was going to come, well, he has a way of protecting us even in the midst of tribulation. And how is that possible? Well, friends, if you have the armor of God on, the whole armor, you will be protected right in the midst of the tragedy. Do you remember the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, when 10 plagues are falling all around them, that they obtained protection and provision in the midst of the tragedy? Friends, do you not want to be counted among those who are protected by Almighty God? You don't have to go off to a place of safety. You don't have to trust and wait on some kind of catching away. But the truth of the book of Revelation will assist you and give you sustenance for the end time. I suggest you stay tuned and listen to what is shared with you. Call that toll-free number. This is Bronson James for the Armor of God, saying goodbye, friends.
You know, it really is important, my friends, to understand the book of Revelation is a book of revealings. Bronson used the additional word disclosure to further clarify the word revealings. But it is. It's a disclosure of the day of the Lord, a figure of speech that John used to describe the ensuing events and details of sequences of those events and the tremendous destruction of all that's going to come down on mankind as a result of his disobedience and, of course, God's judgments. But it is. It's a tremendous book. It's a book that covers a broad scope of subjects, messages to the church, details of end time events, the sequence of those end time events, the resurrection of Christians, the return of Christ himself, his material return, his setting up of God's kingdom on earth, the ultimate fate of Satan the devil, and the arrival of the new heaven and the new earth, culminating in actually having the Father tabernacle with mankind on earth. Won't you let us help you to better understand this subject? Dial now 888-578-8791. Ask for the two free offers that are being presented on this telecast. A one-hour presentation by Mr. Bronson James and Van Stinson going back and forth in an open dialogue titled The Seven Seals of Revelation. You'll find it very interesting, my friends, along with the booklet that you can easily read in one sitting, Who, What, is the Beast. Both, again, let me emphasize, are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that number there on the screen, 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website at www.cgi.org. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.